The camp of leading presidential candidate Ferdinand Marcos Jr. calls on those challenging his looming electoral win to respect the will of the people. We'll discuss that with a lawyer of the petitioners, former Supreme Court spokesperson Theodore Kay. Meanwhile, the Marcos camp asks migrant workers' rights advocate Susan Ople to join the next administration. We'll speak to her later on in the program. The 12 winning senatorial bets set to be proclaimed this afternoon. And the World Health Organization worried over the COVID outbreak in North Korea. Hi, I'm Karina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook Live, you could join us today. Our top story at this hour, respect the mandate of the voting public. That call coming from the camp of presidential race frontrunner Ferdinand Marcos Jr. after some groups seeking the cancellation of his candidacy brought their petition before the Supreme Court. They also asked the High Court to issue a temporary restraining order to stop Congress from canvassing the votes for Marcos in the May 9 elections. But Marcos's spokesman insists the poll body already resolved all disqualification cases against Marcos.
These cases have been resolved unanimously by the Commission on Election on the division level, as well as the Commission on Election on en banc. And these cases have been dismissed, and the decision was unanimous.
House Deputy Speaker Rufus Rodriguez, meanwhile, says Congress should proceed with next week's canvassing of votes. He explains this can only be stopped through a Supreme Court order. Former Integrated Bar of the Philippines President, Attorney Domingo Cayosa, agrees. He also maps out the possible scenarios if the High Court rules against Marcos.
Once the Supreme Court rules with finality, na disqualified pala yung front runner, edi automatically yung next highest vote na candidate ang madideclare na winner kasi parang walang saysay yung mga boto dun sa disqualified candidates.
Based on the unofficial election results, Marcos garnered over 31 million votes. In second is Vice President Eleni Robredo, who has nearly 15 million votes. And we'll be speaking now to the legal counsel of the petitioners calling for the cancellation of the COC of leading presidential bet Ferdinand Marcos Jr. Former Supreme Court spokesperson Theodore Te. Attorney Te, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Carmina. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
All right. So before we talk about the petition to cancel the COC, let's first tackle the petition for a TRO to be issued against the canvassing. At least one election lawyer that I've spoken to, Attorney Emil Marañon III, says the Supreme Court can suspend the proclamation but cannot suspend the canvassing. Why was it important for you to include this in your petition?
Well, Carmina, it is important because, again, the Congress has a duty under the Constitution to conduct a canvass, and if the canvass is concluded, to proclaim the winning candidate for president and vice president. So that's really part of the process. In our mind, it is important for the court to get involved because, well, it is the last resort. No? We have already gone through the COMELEC, second division, COMELEC and bank. And under the rules, we are allowed a final resort to the Supreme Court. Unfortunately, we are now at a situation where the elections were conducted, votes were cast, yet we still believe that the court can look into the issue of the cancellation of the COC. Mm-hmm. But before that can happen, we believe that the Congress may be required to stop first considering the votes of the respondent. Okay. So that's why we included it.
Yeah, because there are two factors here. One is that you are seeking that the COC be canceled and that you're also asking the court to issue a TRO on canvassing. Can one exist without the other?
Well, the TRO is an interim remedy. It is what we call in law, a temporary remedy, just to make sure that the primary relief that we are asking for is not rendered moot. So that is why we asked for it. Mm. So if the court, in its opinion, can consider the case on the merits without the TRO, then so be it. But as a litigant, what we are concerned with is that the court may decide that the primary relief we are asking for may be rendered moot unless, for example, Congress is restrained. So that is why we ask for the TRO. Hopefully the Supreme Court agrees with us. If the Supreme Court does not agree with us, then we believe the court can still consider and should still consider the petition itself.
Attorney Ta, while some have called to respect the 31 million vote mandate of former Senator Bongbong Marcos, we also heard from the camp of the former senator himself. The words that were used were respect the will of the people. While they're saying that, you have chosen to pursue this petition before the Supreme Court. Why is that important?
Well, again, the issue here, Carmina, as we have stated from the very start, is that there is a fatal defect, in our opinion, in the certificate of candidacy. And the legal effect, according to the Supreme Court itself, in decisions that it has rendered, is that if there is a misrepresentation in a certificate of candidacy, there is no valid candidacy. And that is the legal position that we are taking here. So, it is not a question of not respecting the votes cast, but it is a question, more importantly, of was there a candidacy that under the law can be recognized? And that is the question that we are submitting to the court. Mm.
Because what will you do with that acceptance or respect if it's not based on the rule of law?
Yes, precisely, because the law does define what a valid certificate of candidacy is. And so that is simply what we are asking the court to consider, that this is a certificate of candidacy, which, according to the court, if there are misrepresentations, may be considered void ab initio. And we are submitting that question. And it is submitted for the first time, Carmina, because while there have been decisions of the Supreme Court on cancellations of certificates of candidacy, there haven't been any decisions on cancellations of certificates of candidacy for president. So this would be the first time. And so, part of the job of a lawyer and advocate is to also consider if this is a case that would enrich jurisprudence, to make sure that, the court is able to interpret the law or the rules in a particular way.
Attorney Ta, if the Comelec on Banks decision is upheld by the Supreme Court, what kind of precedent do you think that will set?
Well, it would be unfortunate, and as far as the precedent that would be set, it might signal that the information in the certificate of candidacy that is being required need not be considered seriously, which would be, I think, unfortunate. I think what we are asking the Supreme Court to do is to treat the certificate of candidacy that's filed by all candidates seriously. That to tell candidates that they cannot just disregard what is being asked for in the certificate of candidacy. Because again, if candidates can just simply, disregard what is required in terms of information, then why bother with asking these questions in the certificate?
Why even have that COC?
Yes, precisely. It would just simply be a piece of paper. But there has to be some importance attached to the certificate of candidacy. And the information, as ruled already by the Comelec, both the second division and the in-bank, the information required is material. That's not in question. Mm. And the only question now being submitted is whether or not the statements are false. Mm.
If the petition, though, is granted, and it's as if Marcos Jr. never really ran for the presidency, you're saying the second placer should assume office, but why not the vice president-elect?
I think that is a question, that is a consequence of the law taking effect. Because again, if there is no valid candidacy, because the court will rule, for example, that the certificate should be cancelled and should not be considered as a valid candidacy in the first place, Then as far as the electoral contest for presidency is concerned, there was no such candidate. But there were other candidates who ran and garnered votes. And therefore, the focus should simply be on those who ran for president. Mm.
So basically, you're saying, Attorney Tea, that we should be able to discern what succession is and what the electoral contest is. We're just talking about the electoral contest here, and succession is not even part of the equation.
Well, that is the distinction between, I think, the effect of a cancellation and a disqualification. Because when you talk about a disqualification, there would have been, in law, a valid candidacy, except that there was a disqualified candidate. And so as far as the electoral contest for that particular person is concerned, there was a valid run, except that the person who won is not considered qualified. In that situation, the successor principle takes place. But in the case of a cancellation, if the court orders that the certificate is canceled, and therefore there was no valid candidacy to consider, then as far as the votes are concerned, they are considered stray votes. And therefore, the only votes to be considered would be the votes cast for president for valid candidates. Mm. And that's why the successor principle cannot apply in that situation.
We heard from Attorney Vic Rodriguez, spokesperson of former Senator Bongbong Marcos, saying, as I said earlier, respect the will of the people. The COMELEC and Bank has already decided on this matter. And you also heard some people saying, you know, why can't you just accept the 31 million vote mandate? And any question to it would just really sow discord and really give way to consequences that maybe the country isn't ready for. What do you say to that? Nanggugulo lang ho ba kayo, Attorney Te?
Carmina, the rule of law is also predicated on protection of guaranteed rights and freedoms. And part of the rule of law is that if a remedy is provided, then the remedy should be meaningful. This is a remedy that is provided by the law, by the rules. The remedy to ask for review by the court, by a higher court, in this case the Supreme Court, if a litigant disagrees with the ruling of a lower court or an administrative body. So as to the question of nanggugulo lang po ba kami, again, no, the law itself, the rules provide that there is a remedy and that there should be a remedy to protect the rights of people against, for example, an invalid candidacy. Now, as to whether, you know, the will of the people should be respected, again, you know, we are submitting that question precisely to the Supreme Court. Let the Supreme Court decide, was there a valid candidacy? Should the votes that were cast for this particular candidate be considered because there was a valid candidacy? If the court will rule, then that's it, right? And so, you know, I think it would be a disservice to tell people, do not exhaust your legal remedies. Just simply accept it, and you know, just for the sake of harmony or unity, you know, with due respect, that's what we're supposed to be built on. You know, a rule of law that provides for rights that are protected, freedoms that are guaranteed, and the remedies to make them meaningful. And this is precisely one of the remedies.
Earlier on, we were talking about the subject of the vice president elect. We know that the term of Vice President Lenny Robredo ends on June 30th, and yet we're hearing that the inauguration of Davao City Mayor Sara Duterte will happen on June 19th. I just want to explore your thoughts on this. How much of a complication will this be, and what will be the remedy, Attorney Tea?
I don't think it will be. It's complicated. The Constitution's clear. The term of office starts for both president and vice president on June 30. So if there is an inauguration, if there is an oath taking, then it should be considered, I think, in my opinion, largely symbolic. The Constitution is pretty clear. I don't think there is any need to interpret it. The presidency and the vice presidency will transition on June 30. So I think that's my opinion.
All right. And back to the topic at hand here, the petition seeking to cancel the COC of former Senator Bongbong Marcos in his run for the presidency, had you not brought this up to the Supreme Court, if you had stayed silent, Attorney Te, what do you think would have happened? Attorney Te? Yeah, Attorney Te, did you hear my last question?
Sorry, Carmina. My internet connection dropped out for a while. I didn't get the question.
No worries. I'm just going to repeat it. If you had stayed silent and just let the Comelec unbanks decision, you know, remain and didn't bring this matter up before the Supreme Court, what do you think would have happened then?
Well, if we didn't bring this up, then, you know, we I think we would be effectively complicit to a possible violation, and I don't think we want to do that, right? And that's why we're submitting the question to the court. Let the court decide. And that again, that is our system. That is what we are after. We should be based on our rule of law, and the rule of law says the courts interpret the laws. The courts decide on questions like this, and so let's let the court decide. That is their job.
All right, I'm going to veer away from your petition just for a bit, Attorney Te. We all know what has been said about this impending Marcos presidency. But what do you think? How do you think this will affect the fight for the rule of law, the fight for information, the fight for setting things straight and against historical revisionism, all those things and issues being put forth? How do you think an impending Marcos presidency will affect all these?
Well, again, we have really not heard from him in terms of what he plans to do. But we can, you know, rely on, for example, track record, you know. And in terms of track record, well, personally, you know, I'm not very optimistic. So I guess it is let him prove us wrong, right? But until for example, it becomes clear what his human rights agenda is, what his agenda is for protection of rights, for protection of freedoms, for guarantee of the rule of law, then we can only base it on what has happened historically. And, you know, history tells us that, you know, that was a very dark time. And he was already part of it, so you know. I guess he should. It is a burden on him, should he become president, to articulate, you know, what his vision is for the rule of law, what his vision is for protection of human rights, for protection of freedoms, among others.
And it's not enough that you hear it from the spokesperson, Attorney Te?
I'm sorry, you know, he's not the one that ran for the position. He's not the one with the mandate. And so I think it is simply right that we should hear from whoever has been given the mandate.
And we're going to have to leave it at that. Attorney Theodore Te there, former spokesperson of the Supreme Court, thank you for joining us today. Take care and keep safe.
Thank you, Carmina.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And back here in the newsroom, let's move on with the rest of the news this noon. The Election Commission set to proclaim the 12 winning senatorial candidates this afternoon. Our very own RJ Cruz now joins us with details. RJ, over to you.
Hi, Carmina. Good afternoon. The PICC Forum is a beehive of activity and tight security ahead of the 4 p.m. proclamation of the Commission on Elections sitting as the National Board of Canvassers for the 12 winning senators of the elections. All soon-to-be senators-elect have confirmed their attendance, according to Commissioner George Irwin Garcia. And we're going to be seeing a very simple program that has been prepared by the COMELEC, sitting as the NBOC. Of course, they will be arriving through the red carpet that has been rolled out outside. They hope it's not going to be rain because it's been raining these past few days. But if it doesn't rain, they're going to be using the red carpet before they get into the venue. The program is quite simple. There's going to be the entrance of the National Board of Canvassers, followed by an interfaith prayer, the national anthem, the speech of the COMELEC chairperson, Saidamin Pangarungan, and of course the presentation of the certificates of proclamation to the 12 winning senators. And after that, we're going to be seeing the traditional photo opportunity where the hands of the winning senators will be raised by the commissioners. We understand that the commissioners were able to choose who among the winners, whose hands among the winners will they be proclaiming. So we'll see later during the program. We have not been given advanced word as to who is assigned to who, but that's going to be quite interesting. Now, if you're seeing live pictures of the venue, of course, you will see that there are special seats at the front row that is reserved for the winning senators. Now, each of the winning senators get a plus +5, so that's a total of 6 for their party. That includes their documentation officer and members of their family. We're still waiting for a guest list of the winning senators, but it looks like it could be star-studded because we do know that some of the winning senators have connections to the entertainment and media industries. Karina?
All right. Very busy afternoon there. Thanks a lot. RG Cruz there joining us live. Back here in the newsroom, talks are brewing as to who may compose the Senate's minority bloc under the incoming 19th Congress. Meanwhile, at least one outgoing senator urges the next Senate president to assert the chamber's independence from Malacañang. Sherian Torres with the details.
As the new batch of 12 additional senators for the 19th Congress gear up for their proclamation Wednesday, several Senate sources have disclosed at least 3 names that would likely join the chamber's minority bloc. Senate sources who requested anonymity have named Senators Aquilino Coco Pimentel III, Pia Cayetano, and her brother, Senate returnee Alan Peter Cayetano, joining the opposition bloc. One of the sources say such a move is needed to ensure the Cayetano's political survival, with the expected retaliation of presidential frontrunner Ferdinand Bongbong Marcos Jr. against Alan Peter Cayetano in the next 3 years. During the 2016 vice presidential debate, Cayetano confronted Marcos Jr. about corruption issues surrounding his family. Cayetano, who was then the vice presidential running mate of Rodrigo Duterte, also questioned how Marcos achieved 500 million pesos in net worth despite being jobless for years. The Cayetano-Marcos rift also surfaced in 2020 when during a session, Senator Pia lambasted Bongbong's sister, Senator Amy Marcos, who was then head of the Economic Affairs Committee, for tackling the Sitira bill, which Pia argued should be handled by her Committee on Ways and Means. ABS-CBN News has yet to receive a statement from the Cayetanos on the matter. Their staff say they are preoccupied with various meetings. In a text statement, Senator Pimentel, whose father and namesake formed the anti-Marcos party PDP Laban, said he is open to joining the minority bloc. This comes days after opposition Senator Ontiveros said that she will reach out to other senators to fortify the minority bloc.
Naniniwala ako na hindi ako nag-iisa. At gaano man kahirap tignan yung scenario na ganon, talagang tatrabahuhin kong magkakaroon ng isang tunay at malakas na minorya sa loob ng Senado.
Ontiveros' ally, former Senator Antonio Trillanes, believes the Senate opposition will eventually regain its force.
During the early part, honeymoon period, sige, they will help out the new administration. Pero pag medyo meron ng mga hindi maganda nakikita, meron at merong lilipat dyan.
But for Senator Sani Angara, only the election of a new Senate president could define the composition of the new minority bloc. Still, political science professor Dr. Jean Encinas Franco believes the people would still see a chamber that observes critical collaboration with the sitting administration.
The Senate has always been composed of separate republic, sabi nila. Yung mga senators, if they want to derail a particular legislative measure, they can do so. Kasi kukonti lang sila. They know that sometimes they really cannot predict what an individual senator or how an individual senator would behave.
Outgoing Senator Panfilo Lacson meantime advises the next Senate president to remain firm and independent from the qualms of the sitting president. As for Senate President Vicente Soto III, he believes it's a good time to be in the minority and the Senate leadership is weak. Sharian Torres, ABS-CBN News.
I'm going to take a break now. Up ahead, we'll speak to migrant workers' rights advocate Susan Ople on her possible role for the incoming administration. Dateline Philippines will be right back. Stay with us here on ANC. Thursday with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. The camp of leading presidential candidate Ferdinand Marcos Jr. calls on those challenging his looming electoral win to respect the will of the people. But the lawyer of the petitioner seeking to cancel Marcos's candidacy before the Supreme Court insists they're merely using legal remedies available to them. Meanwhile, the Marcos camp asks migrant workers' rights advocate Susan Ople to join the next administration. 12 winning senatorial bets set to be proclaimed this afternoon. And the World Health Organization worried over the COVID outbreak in North Korea. Back with more news, leading presidential bet Ferdinand Marcos Jr. has yet to disclose his plans on how to tackle the Philippines' soaring debt. Sovereign debt hit a record 12.68 trillion pesos at the end of March. That says the administration of President Rodrigo Duterte borrowed heavily to fund the country's COVID-19 response and his ambitious infrastructure program. Marcos's spokesperson points out the present administration is still being led by Duterte, adding the public should wait for Marcos to assume power to know his plans on how to pay off the debt. The Marcos camp, however, says reviving online cockfighting is not an option in raising revenue.
Not just for Isabong, but for any industry, even if the potential revenue is really, really enticing, if it will compromise the moral fiber of the youth, if it will compromise the value of the Filipino family, President-elect Bongbong is more than willing to let go of that lucrative source.
On Tuesday, the Marcos camp revealed it has asked former Labor Secretary Bienvenido Laguesma and migrant workers' rights advocate Susan Tuts Ople to become part of the incoming administration. Laguesma was offered the post of Labor Chief or Labor Department Chief, while Ople is being urged to head the newly established Agency for Migrant Workers. Susan Ople now joins us on the program. Tuts, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today.
Hello, Carmina. How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself? How are you doing?
Yes. Well, you know, I'm humbled and gratified by the offer of our presumptive president, Bongbong Marcos. And it was made when we met at his residence around 6 p.m., I think, last Friday. Mm.
And have you accepted his offer?
Well, we were given time to consult with our respective families and associates, and I have scheduled some meetings with key stakeholders just to firm up my decision. Kasi alam mo naman, Carmina, it takes a lot to, you know, for a private person, a private citizen, to re-enter public service via the bureaucracy. So,
ano ba ang tinitimbang mo dito, Toots?
I don't want to fail him. I don't want to fail those who believe in him. So I just want to make sure that I would really be able to contribute. Especially this is a department that will have to be built from ground zero. So I think I owe it also to our incoming president just to make sure that the stakeholders are comfortable in any case if if and when I do accept.
Yeah, but that could be both seen as both a challenge, right, and as an opportunity for you to be able to build this department from the ground up, knowing what you know, backed by years of experience, because this has been an advocacy of yours. Wouldn't you see this more of an opportunity and not a challenge, Toots?
Well, it really is an opportunity filled with, fraught with many challenges. I mean, I have to enter this with my eyes wide open, and I know, I mean, it, putting together several agencies under one roof, with each agency having its own culture, having its own way of doing things, it will take a lot. And then making habol pa na the new department will get the budget that it deserves. These are huge tasks and a lot of organizational development would be required.
Yeah. Pero klaro sa'yo, Toots, kung ano ang kailangan ng ating mga migrant workers. What are the pressing needs of our migrant workers?
There are pending issues to be resolved. For example, yung huge increase in field health membership dues for our migrant workers that remains pending. Also, the situation in Saudi Arabia, wherein Secretary Mamao, the current BMW secretary, would like to lift the suspension on the deployment of domestic workers to Saudi Arabia. On the other hand, you have Labor Secretary Silvestre Bello saying that the ban stays. You know, these are opposing views that have to be reconciled. So a lot of policy tweaking, policy reconciliation, policy coherence, so that the way forward will be clear and more encouraging for everyone.
You just mentioned two, maybe three issues right there, and already you can see the amount of work that is needed to be able to thrash out these issues and come up with a resolution. Medyo mahirap ang trabaho, Toots.
Yeah, mahirap may be an understatement, mm-hmm. but alam mo, I have never been timid about, you know, pursuing a mission that, you know, to help our OFWs. Parang panata ko na yun sa buhay. Mm-hmm. So whether or not I accept it, you know, the mission and the fight continues. So yun lang nga, I just want to do justice by the kind offer to lead this new department. So I do want to be responsible, introspective, and consultative about it.
Mm-hmm. Some may wonder, Toots, why the support for former Senator Bongbong Marcos. What is it that you see in him?
I know him to be a very kind person. I think his heart is in the right place. We've known each other for quite some time, but I think setting the friendship aside, what they told me, specifically Attorney Vic, what he told me was that the offer came because of my expertise and my specialization. And that alone speaks a lot about the man and the leader that he is. You know, if you look at the competence and experience as the key ingredients in the selection of people, I mean, that already tells a lot that we will have a professional accountable and cohesive government.
Hmm. You know, part of the success that you will have should you decide to accept this post is your accessibility to the incoming president and having his ear. Because as you've laid it out before us this afternoon, it's going to be a difficult task, but you also said that you're not timid, but again, as I said, part of your success will be if you will have his ear. How confident are you that you will have his backing all the way?
Well, I think the offer would not have been on the table if he had some doubts about whether our working relationship would work. But I guess it's more for him to say, moving forward, I really look forward to knowing more about his management and leadership style and how I can contribute to the success of his administration. So, yeah, I'm open to all possibilities under his administration. I'm very hopeful.
So is that your way of saying as well that it may not be the Department of Migrant Workers, but you may accept another cabinet post?
No other post is on the table except for that. Mm. And you know, that's really where my heart is. So abangan na lang po natin, Carmina.
Anong deadline? Anong deadline ang binigay sa'yo?
There's no deadline given. Mm. But then, the proclamation, the presidential proclamation has yet to take place. A lot of things will have to happen. Attorney Vic Rodriguez naman and myself, we are in touch and the lines of communication, they're open. So, wala naman deadline yung binigay. I guess timeline for the president, up to his inauguration and beyond that. Mm. That would guide everyone, not just ourselves. Not just me, but everyone.
Yeah, Toots, you know, like your father, your relevance and your service transcends administrations. Why is that? How are you able to do that? How was your father able to do that, to be of service to different administrations, still bringing with him and with you the respect that people have?
Well, first of all, Carmina, thank you very much. Those are extremely kind words. And I guess it's because we have no other agenda, my father and myself. The agenda is clear, to serve the people. This is not for us. This is for the country. Once you're guided by that, your moral compass will be, you know, always pointed in the right direction.
And finally, since you mentioned the country, some would describe it as one that is broken because of the past elections and because of the polarizing nature of the elections. If you do decide to accept this position, Toots, how are you able to lead despite the polarity? How are you going to lead the department knowing that you're coming off from a very toxic elections, Toots?
Well, I think leadership by example, showing to everyone that this is a job that needs to be professionally done and in accordance with law, and also just to stay humble and always open to all kinds of ideas. So authenticity matters, and above all the pain that these elections may have caused, the spirit of patriotism, I think, will prevail in the end. We all love our country, and really that is what matters the most.
And we're going to have to leave it at that. Susan Opley, president of the Blas Opley Policy Center, also a migrant workers advocate. Nice to talk to you again, Toots, and I'm glad you're doing well.
Thank you. God bless you, Carmina.
God bless you, too. And back here in the newsroom, the Philippine Agriculture Chief hopes the next administration will prioritize the agriculture sector. Secretary William Dar says a higher budget should be given to the department to address a looming food crisis. Dar, however, assures the public the country still has enough food supply.
Gusto po natin i-sustain yan, dadagdagan pa. So that must be clear.
Mm.
Ngayon pa rin ay mag balat buto na para madagdagan pa yung ating produksyon. So may sapat pa rin tayong pagkain. One thing to highlight, dapat ideklara ng gobyerno, which we have done already, na ang agrikultura ay bibigyan ng one topmost priority consideration. At dapat bubuhusan ng malaking budget para may sakatuparan po natin lahat itong plano na ito.
The Philippine Interior Department pushing for a continuity of its programs in the next administration. Among those, the anti-drug campaign, which government says is the reason for the relatively low crime rate. But DALG Undersecretary Epemako Dinsing asserts human rights should be protected should the incoming administration decide to adopt the war against illegal drugs.
I do hope, no? I hope that presumptive President Bongbong Marcos will continue with the war on drugs, but again with special emphasis that in all aspects of anti-illegal drugs operations, our policemen should be transparent. And this is the reason why we are still pushing for the procurement of body cams. And the other one is that the police or PNP personnel should be very worried about protocols on making sure that human rights are also upheld during those anti-illegal drugs operations.
The International Criminal Court has authorized a probe into alleged crimes against humanity against President Duterte over his bloody war on drugs. A historian slams the red tagging of publishing company Adarna House. Shao Chua denies children's books on martial law published by Adarna House teaches Filipinos to go against government. Earlier, the chief of the National Intelligence Coordinating Agency accused the company of wanting to radicalize the youth.
These are things that you actually teach children when you go to Angaling Panlipunan, no? To make people realize, or to make the kids realize that, you know, the world is not fair and your mission in the world is to make it a better place, fairer for other people who are abused. Or you have a preferential option for the poor. There's nothing in the books, as I read them, that tells you to, no, arm yourself, go to the mountains, and fight the government.
Ukraine is doing everything possible to save the remaining fighters trapped in Mariupol's Azovstal steel plant. The defense ministry did not disclose how many soldiers were still at the plant that was once the last holdout of the Ukrainian resistance in the besieged city. On Monday, 264 fighters, many badly wounded, were evacuated to areas held by Russian-backed rebels. On Tuesday, more buses were seen leaving Azovstal. Russian prosecutors said the soldiers from the plant will be questioned as part of an investigation into what Moscow describes as the Ukrainian regime's crimes against Donbas civilians. Ukraine wants the troops to be exchanged for captured Russian soldiers as part of an evacuation deal. Finland and Sweden announced they will submit their bids to join NATO together on Wednesday, this despite Russian President Vladimir Putin's warning the alliance's expansion may trigger a response from Moscow. But that's not the only obstacle the countries face amid their NATO membership bid. Turkey has accused Sweden and Finland of acting as a hotbed for terrorist groups, saying it will block the military alliance's expansion. Countries hoping to become a member of the alliance must first be unanimously approved by NATO's 30 members. Finnish and Swedish authorities are set to meet with U.S. officials Thursday to discuss their bids. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration authorizes a booster dose of Pfizer's COVID vaccine for young children. 5 to 11-year-olds will become eligible for the booster at least 5 months after completing their initial doses. A committee of experts from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is scheduled to meet Thursday to tackle the matter. The authorization comes as COVID cases are again on the rise in the U.S. with approximately 90,000 cases per day. The World Health Organization expresses deep concern over the COVID situation in North Korea. North Korea last week reported its first cases of COVID-19. Now, suspected cases in the reclusive nation have ballooned to over 1.4 million. WHO Chief Tedros Ghebreyesus says they have offered to provide support to Pyongyang.
WHO is deeply concerned at the risk of further spread of COVID-19 in the country, particularly because the population is unvaccinated and many have underlying conditions putting them at risk of severe disease and death. WHO have requested that the Democratic People's Republic of Korea share data and information. And WHO has offered to provide a package of technical support and supplies, included diagnostic tests, essential medicines, and vaccines ready to be deployed to the country.
Philippine health officials confirmed the local transmission of a highly infectious Omicron subvariant. That announcement came Tuesday after three new cases of the Omicron BA.2.12.1 were recorded in the Western Visayas region. This brings to 17 the total number of cases of this subvariant. Local transmission is described as infections between individuals who cannot be linked to an imported case and is confined in an area. But the head of the Philippine College of Physicians says it's only a matter of time before community transmission happens.
Based on the experiences in the other country, particularly in the U.S., no, we have seen that when they had this particular variant, BA2.12.1, it already accounted to a lot of the COVID cases now in the U.S. Actually, it went higher, no, accounting to about, I think, 36% of the samples that were sequenced during the last week of April. As of the moment, no, the variant seems not to cause severe COVID infection, no, but it is causing a lot of infection and it has caused breakthrough infections.
For former COVID-19 Task Force advisor Dr. Tony Lechon, this should be enough reason for government to further ramp up its COVID vaccination drive.
The people who are not yet vaccinated, in fact, it's only 68 million, and the boosters for the first dose is only 13 million. And this is a disturbing development. We cannot be complacent, given that the waning immunity is, I mean, in terms of timeline, is fast approaching, and the rainy season is also coming, and this will actually enhance the spread of the viral transmission.
In business, Mega World Corporation insists it has no outstanding or unpaid tax liabilities. In a statement, the property firm of billionaire Andrew Tan admitted it had a disagreement with the Region 8 office of the Bureau of Internal Revenue regarding the BIR's jurisdiction on conducting a tax audit. But it notes that matter has since been clarified. The Tax Bureau's May 18 closure order against Mega World came as a shock to many, especially to investors. But the BIR says the order has been put on hold after the company's representatives assured them of their full cooperation with tax requirements. In sports, the Miami Heat took a Game 1 of the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals against the Boston Celtics. The Heat outscored the Celtics by 21, make that 25 points in the third quarter, to coast to a 118-107 victory. Jimmy Butler put Miami on his back, dropping 41 points and grabbing 9 rebounds. Backup point guard Gabe Vincent added 17 points for the Heat, who will still host Game 2 on Friday morning, Manila time. In entertainment, dystopian series Black Mirror is set to return for a sixth season. The show will be returning after its last season in 2019 and will have more episodes. A release date has yet to be announced. Black Mirror is known for its take on idealistic themes and how it will be put into play in society. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the News Channel.